I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Experience the difference of a Spartan mower. Spartan not only looks amazing on and off the lawn, it's packed with standard features like GT Track for precision traction, balance, and control, with optional features like radial front tires and an all-new 360 floating seat for an incredibly comfortable ride. Take command of your yard. Take command of your time. Take command of your life by joining one of the fastest-growing mower companies in the world, Lads, for your zero-turn and golf car needs.
Let's. Up your life with Let's up your life.
Buckle up, taste buds. You're about to take an adventure of South of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishment. Check out the new summer menu or nosh on your favorites like General So's cauliflower or the duck patty melt. South of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the Mid-South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to South of Beale, celebrating 10 years in the South Main Art District. Get started at southofbeale.com.
Message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash time on 92.9 every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now,
6 p.m. code word is the word permit. P-E-R-M-I-T. You can text permit to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Permit is this hour's code word up until 7 o'clock. Next code word coming your way tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with Golic and Wingo. Again, this hour's code word is permit, P-E-R-M-I-T. You can text it to 72881. Good luck.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, it's Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
In the gang, ladies and gentlemen, as the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at 929 or at jwright929 ESPN. Join my partner in crime, the producer of the program. He's at cdunning929 on Twitter. Connor Dunning, good day, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Of course, it's a huge 5-day period in Memphis basketball. The hopes just keep on rising and rising. I thought of no better person to discuss this news with than Mark Giannotto. He will join us here in just a couple of seconds to discuss just what a whirlwind it has been here in the Memphis sports scene. Drew Hill is going to join us during in the next segment, about 25 minutes or so. We'll, of course, discuss all the Tiger basketball news with Drew Hill. We'll get into some college football around 3 o'clock with Bill Bender. Brian Kilbrowski will join us at 3:25 to get more NBA thoughts, but might as well get right into it. Mark, good day, sir. We got his mic.
Can you hear me?
There you go. There you
go. There
we are. Voice of the heavens.
How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm doing well, buddy. All right, let's start here first and foremost. So we know all of the good news that has been happening with Tiger basketball, but I really do think it was fascinating to watch last night because in terms of the Memphis Grizzlies, I think the front office does not deserve enough credit for lowering expectations to just this bottomless pit, to where last night it felt like most people had even kind of talked themselves into, you know, intellectually, okay, well, if they convey the pick, then we can start doing the rebuild. And then you had guys like me and Connor, we now started to talk ourselves into the number 4 pick. Like, they could get Garland there, and yeah, I understand Garland's got some injury history, and it could work out. It could work out being, you know, just an absolute bust, but, you know, this could be awesome. And then lo and behold, we find out that the Grizzlies have indeed moved up to the top 4 right after we figure out that the Wizards will be picking in the 8th spot. And then, of course, after the commercial break, they come back. Lakers, Knicks get 3-4 or 4-3 respectively. And then we find out the Memphis Grizzlies get the number 2 pick. It was unbelievable, the fact that the Grizzlies are literally just fingertips away from Zion Williamson, a transcendent type player, yet the fact that they got the number 2 pick, everyone was just so elated. It seemed to be a universal sentiment across the board that everyone in Memphis was just like, holy cow, this is awesome.
Well, and my initial thought was, when's the last time the entire Grizzlies fan base could get that excited collectively together at the same time about something? I mean, it really been like the last moment like that that I could think of was Marc Gasol hitting that game winner against the San Antonio Spurs in the playoffs a few years ago.
The only other one, I think the two home wins, I think you're right. I think the correct answer is the two home wins against the Spurs in the first round of the 2016 playoffs. The Bucks game this year that was on the road where the Bucks had not lost in their brand new building, but at the same time it was a fall football basketball game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people were excited. Like, there were some people who were excited about that 12-5 start, and I remember that Bucks game was really exciting. But there was still a segment of the fan base who was like, "This is fool's gold."
Yes.
You know, this is, you know, but last night, I mean, there's no denying what a big moment that was for the franchise. I mean, this franchise had been in a rut, and it needed something good. It needed some luck, and it finally got some last night. I mean, now, whoever they end up picking, whether it's Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, you can say definitively now there are two potential cornerstone pieces on the roster moving forward. And for the first time in a while, you can sort of see the path out of this, you know, stretch of mediocrity that, quite frankly, the franchise has been in for the last two seasons. I mean, this is just, it's the break these guys needed. They just really needed it with how things have been going in the city, with Tiger basketball kind of superseding Grizzlies basketball. Like, the Grizzlies had really been, you know, gotten pushed to the back burner just among the fans. Now, like, everyone just has something to be excited about, and it couldn't have come at a better time. They really need it. If they had gotten the eighth pick or even the fourth pick, or they conveyed the pick, like, conveying the pick would have been fine. It would have been a positive outcome out of last night. But no one would have been excited about it.
No, because to your point, if they convey the pick, then it creates this scenario of where you go, okay, well, now they can start to take control of their own destiny in this rebuild. They now don't have any other obligations. They can now start doing it themselves. Whereas last night, it just feels like the Grizzlies have been in this endless purgatory of just kind of, for lack of a better word, hopelessness. And last night it was, even if the Grizzlies wind up stinking next year, and, you know, they trade Conley because they take Morant, or they trade Conley because they take Barrett, whatever the case may be, and they wind up being a 25-win basketball team, well, at the end of the day, you can say, well, we've got Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson, or we have R.J. Barrett and Jaren Jackson, and there's now hope, whereas it felt like they were just in this endless cycle of hopelessness.
Well, and hope is so, and I've written columns about it. Like, hope is so important in sports.
Especially in ticket sales.
Yeah, well, in ticket sales. But just as a fan, even if a team is losing, like, we talked about it with Tiger basketball when Tubby was here. You know, yeah, the team wasn't that bad, but people lost hope that it was going to be great. And even though Penny, if you look at the record, wasn't that much better than Tubby, but there was hope. He got these recruits, and in a sense, like, you know, there's no recruiting in the NBA, but they now have a bona fide stud recruit coming in. We know that now, and, you know, it's just, you can't underestimate how much that's going to mean just for the psyche of a fan base that has endured. You mentioned, like, it feels like it's been a long time. It's only been two seasons,
right?
But it's felt like a really long two seasons because, you know, essentially, let's say you take out essentially the first month of 2 years ago and the first month of this past season, this team's been a team going nowhere for essentially 22 of the past 24 months, it feels like.
Well, and then on top of that, the franchise, whether they rightly or wrongly, they shipped out some fan favorites, or they didn't make legitimate plays to keep fan favorites. And so that built up animosity. Then you had the Chandler Parsons deal, and through no fault of his own, Chandler Parsons isn't the one that gave himself $94 million. Like, but they started to see all of these cracks, and then it just created so much frustration. And you're right, for lack of a better word, the word was animosity. Like, at this point, it felt, I mean, think about this year.
Frustration. I don't know if people, like, I remember walking around that arena right around the trade deadline when, you know, it was, we were wondering, is this the last game Mark's going to play here? Is this the last game Mike's going to play here in Memphis? And I didn't sense animosity more than just built up frustration from longtime fans who were just sick of, you know, this endless cycle. But I don't know. I don't think people gave up on the Grizzlies in the sense that, like, they hated them.
No one, like, outwardly rooted against the team. You're right in that. But there was, I've never seen so much vitriol towards a front office that we've seen. Even, like, I'm telling you, man, even when I would sit there as a season ticket holder during the Tony Barone half season, which was breathtaking to watch, I mean, I still think that they should put there should be some type of statue built to Tony Barone Jr. because he was the most effective coach that they've ever had in terms of his job was to make sure they lost as many games as possible and to do so in a relatively entertaining fashion. They put up a bunch of points and they lost virtually every game. But even in those times, like, everyone kind of understood it. And maybe also the other flip side of that time period was the Grizzlies had gone to playoff series. They'd not won a game. And so everyone was like, well, okay, if this gets us to a point where we can be a playoff contender, then okay, I guess that's what we have to go through. Whereas during the last two seasons, Grizzlies fans know what winning playoff games and winning playoff series is like, and they watched the way that their team that they loved was built was essentially just ripped away from them. You insert, you know, for lack of a better word, pretty boy Chandler Parsons and all that he brought with him, and it just created this weird atmosphere of just apathy, frustration, and then you factor it in, as you point out, with Penny Hardaway and the fact that he was able to turn the program around so quickly, and it just made for a weird environment revolving around the Grizzlies. And then last night was almost like, hey, they needed a break, and they got a break.
Well, here's the other part of this that I think is very interesting. We've kind of been in a holding pattern. We had this new front office brought in that we don't really know that much about in terms of, like, what is Zach Kleiman going to do? And it was, part of the holding pattern was, what's going to happen with this draft pick? Well, now we know what the draft pick is. And so now is the time where, you know, this is where Zach Kleiman, this is on him to implement a plan moving forward. He knows sort of now what his chips are. And so what's he going to push forward? How is he going to proceed this offseason? What's he going to do with Mike Conley? How does this affect, you know, in terms of what you wanted, when you want to trade Mike Conley, if you want to trade Mike Conley, you know, Jonas Valanciunas. I mean, the deadline for his player option is June 13th, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, over these next 3-4 weeks, we are going to start to see what exactly the plan is with this new revamped front office. And it's a front office that, quite frankly, has a lot of proven to do. I mean, Zach Kleiman is ultimately, you know, I know he is confident in his ability, but until he actually executes a vision and a plan, I mean, there's going to be doubters. I'm curious what the heck they have planned. And I think, personally, they should be out there publicly soon, sort of. You mentioned the fan base frustrated about exactly what direction things were headed the past two seasons. I think it's incumbent on them, sooner rather than later, to come out publicly and reassure people and, you know, without giving away exactly what they're doing, but tell people how they're proceeding. Because we now know, you know, there's no, well, we got to wait and see if we're conveying the pick or not. Maybe, like, you know, you're either going to have John Morant or RJ Barrett on this roster. And now it's time to start filling the pieces. It's time to probably go get a coach soon. And we're going to find out a lot about this front office now that this domino has fallen. And so that's, again, another reason why last night was so important and so just such a major moment for this franchise, especially when you consider what's taken place recently.
Is there any moment left on the board for the Memphis Tigers left in terms of players that they could add or just players that we could see before the signing class?
Oh, we're really switching course here.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, and I'll include James Wiseman's commitment. Okay. Is there any, in your opinion, is there any day that could equate to what we saw last night? Because what I thought was fascinating about last night was the fact that we saw so many people that had resigned themselves into, all right, well, they're either going to pick eighth. They could convey. That could be good. Or, you know, and then you saw people talking themselves into four. But the fact that it was a, like, it was just so out of left field. And even with the flattened odds, I mean, it was very reasonable to think that the Grizzlies could jump up to where they did, but there was just no expectation of it. So it was almost like this surprise elation, like your team, you know, hit a buzzer beater and you've, like, you just were not, you did not expect it at all. Is there any moment with the Tigers that's either left on the board or that's already occurred that you sensed that the same type of emotion resembled?
Oh, well, I think this weekend, if Precious Achiuwa commits, I think, you'll see a similar reaction from the Tiger fan base. Honestly, the moment I'm thinking of, when Tyler Harris committed last year, you saw that kind of, even though he wasn't, you know, isn't and hasn't been the biggest recruit, literally and figuratively, that Penny Hardaway's gotten, just the significance of it, given what Tigers fans had been through the previous few years, and the fact that Penny closed the deal really quickly after getting the job, you know, with a kid from the city.
A kid that they were told by the previous staff, you know, they don't want to come. He doesn't want to come here and whatnot.
Yeah, who had played for a rival AAU program. I thought that to me is very similar to this in terms of you're not going to see a direct result on the court maybe right away, but just in terms of significance for the direction the program, or in this case the organization, is headed, and you hope. Let's just hope Zach Kleiman is as successful as his job over the next year as Penny's been in the year since Tyler Harris committed.
But. Well, you make a good point, because when you draw the comparison with Tyler Harris, Tyler Harris was more of a symbol than anything. Mm-hmm. And last night, getting the number two pick and getting – it was this symbol of hope, and it was this symbol of, okay, we've wanted to believe forever that there is a way out. Now – Penny Hardaway, everyone said you can't sign a Memphis kid. You can't sign a kid from rival AAU program. Well, you saw him do it, and now, like, you had this symbol of hope. It's kind of the same thing as last night, where it's just felt so hopeless with this franchise, because it just feels like it clearly had a ceiling constructed the way that they were. But now you're sitting there going, okay, worst case scenario, you're either going to add a high-flying point guard that is exciting as hell to watch, or you're adding a guy that set an ACC record for scoring in a season as a freshman and already kind of has a brand in RJ Barrett.
Well, I'd say the one key difference is, like, what Penny did to get Tyler Harris took skill, took savviness, took strategy.
Yes.
You know, and it kind of
had to execute.
It kind of showed you a template for how he would operate moving forward. What happened last night with the Grizzlies was just plain luck. I mean, let's just be frank.
No, there's
they got lucky.
No, it was legitimately, by the definition of it, it was a game of chance.
Yes.
It was luck.
And so Zach Kleiman, so we don't have a template yet of how effectively the Grizzlies are going to proceed just based off they got the number two pick. Like, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Like, now more than ever, Zach Kleiman has a chance to really take off as a GM. And he has a chance to mess it up, too, because he's now been given a runway, so to speak, to really implement his vision. He doesn't have a bad – his deck of cards, his hand is much better today than it was yesterday. He's got more leverage with Mike Conley. He's got another cornerstone coming in to join Jaren Jackson Jr., no matter what he does here, you'd hope. You know, it's a good chance. There's a slight chance – Ja Morant or RJ Barrett doesn't turn into what we think they might, but there's a good chance they will. And then now, especially if you pick Ja Morant, you've got a lot more leverage with Mike Conley in terms of how you want to proceed with Mike Conley. And I think how you proceed with Mike Conley is the next biggest sort of chip you have in your hand. And so that's why last night was so important. It really opened some doors to the Grizzlies that we thought might not be open this offseason.
And with that being said, when you consider the uncertainty with Conley, how much do you think, like, when we put a poll up yesterday, I think Connor put it up, or maybe Brad did, but there was a poll up on the 92.9 Twitter account of who would you rather see, Barrett or Morant? And it's like 91% to 9. And it's about as unanimous as you can sense in terms of a fan base clearly wanting one guy. how much for if you're a young player development guy or you're a young roster manager that as Kleiman is, how much do you factor in, hey, my fan base is not going to be happy if we take RJ Barrett?
Well, I mean, here if you're a good GM, you make the evaluation and you got to go with it. I mean, you just because you know, Donovan McNabb got booed by Eagles fans when he was drafted.
For sure.
You know, like, you can't just make a choice based on what the fans think.
I would also add, it appears it's a cleaner fit with Ja Morant than it is with R.J. Barrett because that allows you to more easily move off of Mike Conley, trade Mike Conley with less having to worry about, oh, my God, we got to trade Mike Conley. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the reaction going to be? That allows you to do that. But on the flip side, if you take R.J. Barrett, is there going to be some pressure on you to keep Mike Conley? Because you're thinking, well, we got R.J. Barrett, we got Jaren Jackson, we got Mike Conley here. And maybe we just roll with this.
Yeah, my feeling with that is here's what comes down to me when I watch those two guys, Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett. Ja Morant's ceiling feels like it's much higher than R.J. Barrett's. I do think R.J. Barrett's floor is much higher than Ja Morant's. Like, there's a slightly bigger risk, of taking Ja Morant. But I think if you're a GM, you have to trust your gut. If you evaluate these two guys, if you go through your scouts, you bring them in for workouts, you watch all the film, and you've decided that R.J. Barrett is the better prospect, like, even if me and you disagree with him, he's got to do what he thinks is best. That's what he's been empowered to do.
What if you have him evaluated evenly? Because, see, I think that's the thing. Everyone goes, okay, take the best player. And we all fundamentally agree that. I don't care if the best player in this draft or the best player available would be a 4. I don't care that you have the fact that you have Jaren Jackson there. Like, if that's the best player, take the best player. But I think what oftentimes gets lost, and particularly amongst fan reaction, is oftentimes you're sitting around a boardroom and not everyone agrees. Like, half the room will say RJ's better and half the room will say that Ja Morant is better. If you're in that scenario, does Ty go to?
Ty goes to what Zach Kleiman thinks. Well, that's what he's paid to do. Like, honestly, and it's going to be on him, the decision. And so, yes, is it riskier? Probably in terms of public perception and just leeway to take RJ Barrett. Absolutely, because it does seem the popular sentiment is Ja Morant, and a lot of scouts, at least the mock drafts, all that stuff, seem to suggest Ja Morant is the second best prospect in this draft. But if you really believe that R.J. Barrett is that guy, like, I want my GM going with what he believes, not with what he thinks will make people happy.
How much is the perception around R.J. Barrett, the fact that it's so kind of universally negative. How much of it do you think it's a result of, okay, every time we watch Duke play and Zion's on the floor, we're all just saying, get him the ball, like, because he's what we want to watch. Because at the end of the day, we don't really care what happens to Duke one way or the other. It's just we wanted to watch Zion with the ball because that was so much fun. And then at times, R.J. Barrett's the one in the last minute with the ball in his hands, and he's the one taking the shot, seemingly ignoring Zion. How much do you think the perception around him is the result of that?
Well, here's what I think about R.J. Barrett. I think one of his weaknesses this year with Duke was he tended to make the decision that best benefited R.J., mm-hmm. not necessarily that what best benefited Duke.
And normally I would love that player.
It's a polite way of saying he was a bit of a ball hog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I would suggest is those 5 or 6 games Zion missed towards the end of the year,
yep.
Go watch those games. He was awesome. Like, awesome, awesome, awesome. There's a reason why he was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school, and I really think you saw it in those 5-6 games where Zion was gone. Like, he put that Duke team on his back, and he's a guy. He's got the quality that James Harden has, in that he's not necessarily the quickest guy, he's not necessarily the strongest or the most athletic, but he's got this way of slithering into the paint and drawing contact. He's a guy I think is gonna get to the line double-digit times in a lot of games in the NBA. And, like you can be down on R.J. Barrett. I think he's going to be a very good pro. I think there's a better chance that Ja Morant turns into a superstar than R.J. Barrett turns into a superstar. But I don't think you're going wrong. You can go more right by picking Ja Morant, but I don't think you're going to go wrong by picking R.J. Barrett.
Okay, last question on this. Do you have a fundamental belief in terms of, because I do agree with you, it does feel like the floor for R.J. Barrett is higher than the floor for Ja Morant. But when you're sitting here, would you rather them take the chance on the guy that could be, you know, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry-esque, and the guy that can be a franchise-type point guard, Damian Lillard, a guy that everyone, you know, he's known by his first name throughout the country. Would you rather them do that, or would you rather them take, okay, well, we know this guy's going to play in the league for 12 years, and he's going to be a 17-8 guy every night?
I think when you're in the position the Grizzlies are, you try to hit the home run.
I think you are, too.
I think you go Ja Morant. But I want Zach Kleiman to go with his gut, and if he feels R.J. Barrett's better, he's the GM. They entrusted him with this franchise, so to speak, because they trust him to make decisions like this. And so, you know, I guess the safe pick would be Ja Morant based on keeping the fan base as happy as they were last night.
Yeah, you got to sell tickets. Mark, it was a pleasure, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, guys, I got to say, that was a phenomenal segment. You two, I mean, I'm just spitballing here. I think you two would make a good pair. That's just spitballing.
You do anything Monday?
What time?
2? We'll probably need you for a couple hours.
I think I can make that work.
Okay, and then keep the rest of the week, you know, Monday through Fridays, 2 to 4. Keep that kind of clear if you can, you know, put some space in the calendar, if you will.
Okay. Yeah. I think I can make that work, Jeffrey.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good way to do it.
I like you enough that I'm willing to devote 2 hours a day to talking with you.
I greatly appreciate it. He's being nice because I know you really just mean you like Connor enough to do it for 2 hours a day.
Well,
I appreciate
it. I mean, to be honest, Connor was a prerequisite for me signing on to this agreement.
That's just assumed. No. That wasn't even in the rider. It was just like, I won't do this without Connor. Yes.
Yeah. Y'all are too kind. Too kind. Daily segment 2 to 4?
Yeah, I think it'll be a daily segment from 2 to 4.
Okay.
I think that'll be the way that we're going to choose to operate it. He, of course, is Mark Giannotto of the Commercial Appeal. We will keep it with the Commercial Appeal. We talk with Drew Hill, college basketball recruiting, Tiger recruiting, and more when we come back right here on 92.9 FM.
Starting Monday at 2 p.m., it's the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Mark Giannotto, lead columnist from the Commercial Appeal, and 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright. Giannotto and Jeffrey starts Monday on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. All the names, all the games.
It's the season for graduation and celebrations. It could be your turn next. Jump into your future this summer at Belhaven University. Finish your bachelor's degree, pursue your master's, or continue with a graduate certificate. You can fit a quality education into your busy schedule and your budget. Classes are forming now for May and June. There's never been a better time to enroll. Attend classes in Memphis, South Haven, or online. To discover more, visit memphis.belhaven.edu or call 901-896-0184. Trust your education to Belhaven University and let us help you today.
There's nothing more simple and delicious than a burger done right. Brett Clark here, operating partner at Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. At the bar in Fleming's Prime Steakhouse, we serve a delicious half-pound prime bacon cheeseburger, and nothing makes me happier than seeing a guest smile after taking that first bite. Want to make that burger taste even better? Pair it with an Applewood smoked old fashioned and try a flaming molten lava cake for dessert. And every day during happy hour from 5 to 7, that same burger is only $10. Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. We use food and wine to create memorable times.
This is Andy Wise. For 20 years, I was Memphis TV's chief consumer investigator. I'm out of TV news now, but I'm still your consumer investigator. I've launched my own consumer advocacy venture called Wise Choices at andywisechoices.com, where I still work for your protection and where I endorse local companies with your best interest. And one of those companies is Cooper Systems. I came to know Cooper Systems when I partnered with Lee and Lauren Cooper and their staff on an undercover investigation of computer repair businesses. Lee and his crack technicians helped me uncover some pretty bad deals. They helped me hold lesser computer computer repair shops accountable. For over 26 years, Cooper Systems has been solving computer problems honestly and at a fair price. You want reputation? You want locally owned? You want an impeccable record? You want Cooper Systems. For the best in computer repair, virus removal, data recovery, cracked screens, for active customers, they'll even come to your house to repair your computer. Cooper Systems also has great deals on new and refurbished PCs and Apple Macs, desktops, laptops, and printers and monitors, too. For all of your computer needs, trust Cooper Systems to be your wise choice.
Hey, Mid-South, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. It's summertime, and once again, I'm here to invite you to exceptional service. With our five-star reputation, we can take care of all your termite and pest control needs all summer long. Give us a call at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. And find out what your friends and neighbors are talking about. Or you can check us out online at inman-murphy.com. That's inman-murphy.com.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses, and it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations in Tennessee or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Loans at Ace are backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your mind, just bring back the money borrowed within 72 hours and we'll call it even.
All loans subject to approval. Loans should be used for short-term financial needs and not as a long-term solution. Customers with credit difficulties should seek credit counseling.
Ace Cash Express, earning your trust since 1968.
We started Allegiant with a simple goal, so the one person who couldn't travel could. 80 million passengers later, that goal remains the same. Save when you book flights, rental cars, and hotels together only at Allegiant.com. Together, we fly.
Book a nonstop flight from Memphis to Phoenix Mesa one way for as low as $80. Must be purchased by May 29, 2019 for travel between June 10, 2019 and August 12, 2019. Seats and dates are limited. Restrictions apply. See Allegiant.com for details.
These days, people have all sorts of strange pets, like llamas, spider monkeys, and even Burmese python. But the one thing you'll never see as a pet is a cockroach. Ew. I mean, have you ever tried to put a leash on a cockroach?
Okay, little buddy, just hold still.
Ah, it ran up my leg! It's on me! It's on me! If you have cockroaches, we have solutions. Allied Termite and Pest, because no one has ever said, oh, where did you get that cute little cockroach? 901-754-0454. Get it off!
Now, back to The Six. Starting Monday at 2 p.m., it's the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Mark Giannotto, lead columnist from The Commercial Appeal, and 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright.
Drew Hill covers Tiger basketball for The Commercial Appeal. As always, go follow him on Twitter at @DrewHill_CA. Go read his work over at CommercialAppeal.com. Subscribe to The Commercial Appeal. Drew, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on? Hey, before we get started, I just want to say congrats to you and congrats to my guy, Mark. That's obviously big news, and I got a lot of respect for both of you guys, and this is going to be a great program here from 2 to 4.
Well, you're nice to say that. I would say the respect for me is undeserved, but the respect for Mark most certainly is, and I think it's going to be fun, man. I think the audience got a little taste of what we've got coming up and what we got in the works to start the show, and I think it's going to be a blast because, as you know as well as anyone, Mark has got opinions, and he's well-sourced, and he really cares, and I think that's a big aspect of it.
Yep. I mean, he's been an excellent role model for me, and he's actually, since I got here, since day one, really helped me adapt to Memphis. That's not even just work. You know, he sort of showed me around. He's a great dude, and I think you guys are going to do an excellent job. But let's talk some basketball.
Let's talk some basketball. Let's start here. How are you handling the last, 18 hours in that you are now no longer writing a story that gets the most clicks, it generates the most interest? How's that? Are you coping okay? I mean, the Grizzlies kind of snaked your thunder here last night.
No, I'm sitting in the, I guess it's the break room here at the new CA office. I'm standing in the corner pouting because I don't have the most read story on the website today. No, but anyway, it's been good. And I thought last night was awesome. And look, I did not grow up a lifelong Grizzlies fan. I covered the team while they were looking for a Grizzlies writer before they got Cobb, who does an excellent job. I've written several Grizzlies stories. And for some reason, I was still huddled in front of the TV last night. And when I saw, you know, the Lakers and Knicks come off the board, I looked down and my hand was, like, tapping furiously on the table. I was so excited and just like ready to see who it would be. And it was the number two pick, but I was still, you know, sort of elated to see that. And it's been an absolutely awesome week in Memphis sports. But I will say, I'm very opinionated on this. I'm not willing to budge. I am a Ja Morant guy. If this is anyone other than Ja Morant, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah, I mean, I know I fall into the same category. I presume I'll talk myself into RJ Barrett if that's what they do. But it just basically feels that when we've reached this point, that if they do indeed take RJ Barrett, that they have evaluated him as significantly better than Ja Morant. And then I'm going to be willing to accept that because they have to know. Everyone right now is just sitting here looking for the next YouTube collection of Ja Morant highlights. I mean, I've got GIFs saved already. Like, I'm just so fired up, and I don't think that I'm unique in that perspective. If they do take RJ Barrett, like, to me, it has to be like he was unquestionably better. I won't be happy about it, but at the same time, it's like, okay, I can accept that, and that risk will be how I judge that front office, how Barrett would develop would be how I judge the front office moving forward.
Right. I mean, maybe we'll look back and we're going to look like idiots because, you know, I'm sitting here saying absolutely no way you take anyone other than Ja Morant. No way, not willing to budge. And maybe, you know, RJ Barrett will turn out to be a much better player. That's usually how it works. But for now, I don't care. I can watch those YouTube highlights and I just get too excited, man. I'm not willing to budge on that. Okay. I'm going to feel that way no matter how they perform at the combine. And I've seen enough Ja Morant to know that guy is really good. And that's who I think should be playing for the Memphis Grizzlies. I think if you had him and Jaren Jackson, then that would be an amazing combination moving forward at two positions that are really critical in the NBA right now. So I think that's your guy.
It's not an apples to apples comparison. And I understand that, but I look at it the same way that I look at the Warriors. Take even Steph on a bad night. When Steph's turning the ball over, Steph's being reckless with the basketball, and Klay is hitting everything he looks at, it's still more fun. Like, your eyes are still drawn to Steph because he is that type of player. And while Ja clearly isn't the pure shooter that Steph isn't the athlete that Ja Morant is. And I don't know, like, it's just something about a point guard that can pass, a point guard that can make a play at any given moment that can just make you go, damn. Like, it's just way more fun to watch than a perimeter guy that is long, athletic, and can shoot. Like, just to me, the springy point guard is just way more fun to watch.
Yeah, put on the tape. Put on the tape from the NCAA tournament. That's all you need to see.
Okay, speaking of springy point guards, the University of Memphis picked up one since the last time we talked. Boogie Ellis has indeed announced that he will be a Memphis Tiger. In terms of how big of a pickup that was for the Tigers, where do you rank it?
Oh, I think I would put it, you know, top two. I might put it right behind James Wiseman, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that is a player he's a caliber player that Duke wants, you know. If he's a guy that Duke wants, if he's a guy that Duke chased after that hard and swooped in and stole from Memphis the first time around, then you know he's a good player. Like, there's no doubt that Boogie Ellis is going to immediately step onto the team and make an impact offensively. Like, that's just a given. That's coming to Memphis, and that really is going to help James Wiseman. It's going to help a lot of these guys because he's going to be able to take some of that pressure off, take some of that scoring load off. And it's funny, I was here at the office. This is my first day in the new office, and we have this nice sort of rooftop thing that overlooks the river. It's like it's super awesome. It's a great patio to go work on. And I had turned to Cobb about 5 minutes earlier because I had gotten an inclination and a few hints that a commit could be coming on Monday.
Yeah.
So I turned to him. I said, "David, I'm terrified to go home. Like, I'm just terrified to go home. I know it's coming. I can't go home because I'm going to get in the car, and I know the second I get in the car, the kid's going to post it on Instagram and it's going to be game over. And I was like, let's go to the rooftop. Let's go hang out up there because I'm not going home. And I'm not kidding. The second I stepped foot in the elevator, my phone buzzed for the Instagram picture. And I was like, you see, this is karma. This is how it works. And then obviously that sprung sort of elation everywhere from, you know, some people in the office who grew up Memphis fans to everyone on Twitter. And it's just an amazing time to be a Memphis basketball fan.
And then another, of course, big moment over the weekend, Rajon Tucker indeed commits to the University of Memphis. He's still going to be testing the draft waters. Do you get any sense which way he is leaning in terms of playing for the Tigers next year or trying to stay in the draft?
I'll be very surprised if he stays in the draft. A guy that doesn't have an NBA combine invite is going to make it very, very challenging for not only him to get drafted, but him to get drafted in a spot that would make sense for him to leave. I think it right now, it only makes the most sense for him to return to college. I expect that's what he's going to do. And, you know, that's a guy that's already proven. We mentioned, like, we know what we're going to get from Boogie Ellis. You also know what you're going to get from Rajon Tucker because he's proved it at this level. And for Memphis fans, it's a lot easier to believe because they've seen it with their own eyes.
Oh, there's no question. When you watch him drop 29 on you and Arkansas Little Rock's making you sweat it out for, you know, 35 minutes, there's no question that has a huge impact. Talking, of course, with Drew Hill of the Commercial Appeal. Drew has a podcast over at commercialappeal.com, of course, discussing the Tigers on the recruiting trail. Of course, a couple other big names still out there for the Tigers that they are heavily involved in. What's the latest you're hearing with Precious Achiuwa?
Yeah, with Precious, it sort of felt like, I don't want to say like a slow drain, but it's been, you know, it's been a battle. At one point, I know that the coaching staff was really confident that they were going to get Precious Achiuwa. I still think that they have a decent chance. I like the fact that Memphis got Lester Quiñones. I think that's very significant in his recruitment. So we will see. We will see where he ends up going this weekend. But I like the spot that Memphis is in still. I know I saw Zagoria predicted him to Kansas, but as of now, I think he's in Memphis and Penny are in a pretty good spot. And right now, why would you bet against Penny? He's the hottest guy on the planet when it comes to recruiting.
At this point, it's an exercise in futility. I mean, I still feel comfortable saying I don't know, but my caveat and follow-up to that would be, but exactly what you just said, but I'm not betting against Penny Hardaway in terms of closing on the recruiting trail because that's exactly what we've been seeing. Drew Hill joining us here on the program. As always, go follow him on Twitter, @DrewHill_CA. And then, of course, another big name out on the board that's also been connected to Kansas amongst many others is RJ Hampton. Do you get any sense that there's enthusiasm from the staff on the prospects of landing RJ Hampton?
Right now I think it's going to be difficult for Memphis to get RJ Hampton. I don't want to say, you know, 100% that they're not going to get RJ Hampton, but I just think at this point it's going to be a challenge. You can look at the roster. I mean, maybe if someone decides to transfer, and that in particular would probably need to be a guard. I mean, maybe you might have a chance at getting RJ Hampton, but it's already so backloaded, especially at that position, that it's a challenge. Now, if you could have anybody of anyone left, I would probably take Precious, but I definitely wouldn't be the only one, plenty of people would pick RJ if you gave him a chance. It wouldn't be unanimous for Precious, that's for sure. So, again, that's another one. I just think it's going to be a really big challenge for Penny to land RJ Hampton at this point. And then, you know, of course, Trendon Watford decides on Monday, too. For a long time, everyone has thought that, you know, he's going to end up at LSU. But, you know, if Precious decides to go to Kansas, then, you know, maybe last second Penny could pull something off and get Trendon Watford here too. But regardless, even if you take a scholarship opening into the beginning of the season, there are high-level guys that transfer midseason. I'm sure you probably remember Quade Green from Kentucky transferred to Washington in December. So there might be a high-level guy out there who doesn't like how his season starts and decides that he's going to switch schools. And, you know, if you have that scholarship in your pocket, maybe you could pull something off that way as well.
You mentioned difficult task for Penny Hardaway. How difficult do you think it's going to be in not only trying to execute and win basketball games, but also you've got a bunch of high-level recruits, and not everyone's going to come out at the same level, and not everyone's going to start off as well as maybe some others. How difficult of a balancing act is he going to be in trying to keep a talented roster, trying to keep them as happy as possible?
Oh, it's going to be extremely different from last year. It's going to be difficult to get that figured out. We talked about this on the podcast too. You know, it's an extreme challenge for Penny, but it's not just an extreme challenge because of the, you know, trying to keep everyone happy. It's also something he's not really had to do. He had his horses at East, and he rode them there. And then the last year, I mean, he had a decently talented roster for the AAC, I would say, but he didn't have this overwhelming amount of talent where he's trying to do this balancing act. And last year, all season long, we said Penny has this learning curve. He's going to be a better coach at the end of the year than he was at the beginning of the year because he's figuring out the college game and he's figuring out his team and how to coach them. He's going to have that same learning curve this year because this is a totally different team. It's a young team. It's got, you know, last year he started 5 seniors, so he had that experience. And he's going to need some time to get this team figured out as well. And I know the excitement is sky high right now, but you would just hope, especially if you're Penny, that the fan base understands that and is patient with them.
Let's say the Tigers do either throughout the rest of this week or even perhaps this weekend that they land Precious Achiuwa. When we now see, and let's say that's where the recruiting class ends. When you go into covering this team as they get ready for fall camp and then eventually to get the season started, what is the most interesting aspect about this team, if that's what the roster is, when you go into fall camp?
I think this sort of applies every year. But once you have that mix of national guys and Memphis guys, I think that maybe is an angle that's pretty interesting. How are these guys going to mesh? And how is Penny going to make it work to where, you know, he can still clean up in Memphis and get every kid and, you know, sort of keep his promises that he's made and keep kids wanting to come here. And so that's something that's very interesting. And then, of course, whenever you bring in guys from all these different places, they all come from very different backgrounds. I know last year, like at the beginning of the year, the first thing I wanted to do was get to know all of the players and then really break down their backgrounds and figure out, you know, what type of guys they are and how these pieces are all going to fit. So to try and do that with a guy like Kevin Davenport is a lot harder than, you know, Jeremiah Martin.
For sure.
But they all come from different backgrounds. So, you know, there's more to this than how they fit on the basketball court. They got to fit as personalities and as a team as well. And I think they did a good job of coming together last year, and this is a whole new crop of guys. So, and they don't have as much experience doing that. So now you got to figure out how you're going to do that all over again this year.
No, and I completely agree. That's another aspect of it. And then for me, another big issue that I'm curious about, when we see teams that are primarily built with young elite level talent, oftentimes, like when we look with Kentucky and even really Duke recently, although a couple of years Krzyzewski's had to adjust, but oftentimes they try to build the roster from defense first. And I'm not saying that defense has been overlooked under Hardaway, but oftentimes when you have a team that wants to play at the pace that he wants to play at, the first thing you're not talking about is, all right, let's grind it out, let's suffocate you on defense, and then we'll just have more talent than you on the offensive end. I'm curious to see if there's any adjustment to, you know, the style of play that he would like to see when he has this kind of talent.
No doubt. And I think it will be different. And it'll change a lot, actually, if they get Precious Achiuwa, because he gives you another elite defender that can guard multiple positions. I do think he is going to adjust it a little bit. He's not going to have to play five, or, you know, he's not going to have to play four guards at once. So you're not going to be as small as you were last year. You have a rim protector in James Wiseman. You know, James excels at running the floor and finishing. So, you know, maybe you keep that fast pace, but, you know, maybe you're also a better half-court team than they were last year. So you compromise and you meet somewhere in the middle. We'll see. Penny has his style, of course, and every coach says that they want to play fast. But last year, I think he did a really good job of adjusting, especially when he put the ball in Jeremiah Martin's hands. They became a much better team. So he's going to do the same sort of things this year, but the answers could be completely different.
How much would your expectations for the team change with the addition of Precious Achiuwa, or if they didn't add Precious Achiuwa? How would that impact what you expect from this team coming in?
Right now, I expect when I submit my first top 25 ballot, I expect that they're going to be in the top 10. Now, I haven't sort of dissected all the teams that could potentially be there yet, but from my eyes and what they have coming in and what they have coming back, I think that they're a top 10 team. If they add Precious Achiuwa, now you're thinking about top five, because you got at least two guys who appear to be one and done caliber players. So if you have both of them, you know, you're on that Duke level. You're on that Kentucky level in terms of what you're bringing in. You are very young. A lot of the times when these teams start the year, you know, what the expectations are going to be right away should be totally different than the end of the year. I know we've talked about that second weekend or beyond as the expectation at the end of the year. But at the beginning of the year, they are going to struggle against some of these teams because they're going to be finding themselves and figuring out how they're going to play together. So, yeah, maybe they start the year in the top five, but they struggle against some of these smaller schools a little bit, and people will be like, well, why are they a top five team? Well, they're a top five team because at the end of the year, they have the talent to be a top five team. And so that's why they're there at the beginning of the year. And I think that's what you're going to see. That's what you see from the Kentuckys and the Dukes year in and year out.
See, I think you bring up an interesting point, because this is kind of one of the things that I've been thinking about in terms of the Tigers next year. Oftentimes we know if Kentucky starts slow, okay, they'll figure it out. Cal has a history of maybe getting young teams to start slow, and then come March, if they've gone from his kids or these kids to his guys, if he starts referring to them as his guys, then you know he really likes his team. But you're not really worried about the start. But with the Tigers, and you look at the schedule and it being unfamiliar territory, I do just wonder if this entire season, you know, so much of it hinges on the first 6 weeks of the season and getting off to the right start and kind of keeping it rolling. I think that's going to be another fascinating element of the season.
I think by the end of the year, by conference tournament play, you know, I've tweeted this out, I think that they should obliterate the AAC. Now,
yeah,
you are going to get games from people. You're going to get games from people. Houston is tough. They're going to give you a game. Cincinnati is tough. They're probably going to give you a game. I'm not saying that they're not going to get games, but this is a team that could lose one, maybe two conference games. I mean, they should run through the conference. So, yeah, those early games, I don't want to say that they don't matter completely, but, I mean, in some of these early games, you watch these teams. Like, Kentucky got absolutely destroyed by Duke.
The game was over, like, 4 minutes into the game.
Yeah, but that game didn't matter at all come Selection Sunday because they had done enough to make up for that, and they played well enough in their conference where they still had a chance, if they would have won the conference tournament, to get a number one seed. So I think you're going to have something similar to that. Now, Memphis isn't playing a team the caliber of Duke in the first game of the season, but they are going to play some tough teams. They're going to give them games because they're going to be inexperienced. But by the end of the year and by the end of conference play, I don't think any of that's really going to matter too much.
Yeah, I that is a pretty good point, because if there can also be the idea of, okay, we know it could be a tough start, but you can kind of preach, hey, guys, you know, we got a tough start. But one thing that we've clearly seen with the selection committee is you don't really get punished for playing big games, even if you don't win them. Like, as long as you play them, that's what they want to see, and that's what they reward. And so if you can keep building towards conference play, I mean, the truth is, you nailed it. That's kind of been a formula. Now that the SEC's gotten a little better, it's not so much the formula for Kentucky, but oftentimes early in Cal's tenure, that's what it was. You know, we're going to play these tough games early, and then come SEC play, we're going to run through the conference, and it's going to be here we go in March. But it will be fascinating to watch how this team looks early, and I think I'm interested to watch the makeup and the rotations and, you know, kind of honestly, I hate to say it, but the body language of a lot of guys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And as long as they play well at the end of the year, whatever happens at the beginning isn't going to matter. This is a team that's going to make the NCAA tournament. I don't think, if they don't make the NCAA tournament, it's an absolute and complete total failure. But they're going to make the NCAA tournament, and it's going to matter that they're playing well at the end of the year. And these first few games are going to be fun. I'm excited to go out to Portland when they play Oregon. That should be really fun. I just think that the results of the game aren't going to matter as much as what the team learns. And I'm not saying that they're going to lose the games. Like, they're going to be favored in almost all these games.
Oh, for sure.
I'm just saying, you know, if it's a close game at halftime, maybe it's a better game for them than if they would have just blown them out, because, you know, it takes a team to learn those tough moments early, because you know teams like Houston and Cincinnati are going to give you a dogfight when conference play comes around. And if you're ready, this team has the talent to just totally annihilate everybody else in the AAC.
Starting Monday at 2 p.m., it's the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Mark Giannotto, lead columnist from the Commercial Appeal, and 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright. Giannotto and Jeffrey starts Monday on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. All the names, all the games.
Wiseman, Jeffrey, Saw, Dandridge, Lester Quinones, Rajon Tucker, Boogie Ellis.
This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. 92.9.
The fruitful land in the work.
Landers Auto Sales. They got a large inventory, over 300 vehicles to choose from. Like the 2018 Jeep Wrangler, which is exactly what I'm in right now. I love that vehicle. You'll love it too. They got more of them out there on the lot. They got lots of goals at Landers, but their number one goal is simple, and that is to ensure their customers are totally satisfied. So get down there and let them show you how they make it happen. Go visit them, Goodman Road in South Haven, or on the web, LandersMemphis.com. Landers Auto Sales. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
Now's the time to get a great deal and big savings on a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV at Bob Johnston Chevrolet. The all-new Bob Johnston Chevrolet in Covington has 2018 Chevrolet Silverado pickups with up to $12,000 discounts. Get employee pricing on select Chevrolet models, plus incentives on all 2019 model Chevrolets in stock during the anniversary sale going on now at the all-new Bob Johnston Chevrolet in Covington. In the market for a new 2018 Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV, Bob Johnston Chevrolet has a clearance sale on all new 2018 models as well. Bob Johnston also has the new 2019 Chevrolet Blazer in stock. Chevrolet, find new roads. Bob Johnston Chevrolet in Covington. Visit us at TN. Chevrolet.com.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a job we love. You see, Robert Half isn't just a staffing firm. We're people. People who believe in finding the right people to fit your company's needs. Because employees who are a good fit are more productive, more engaged. Finding a great candidate isn't easy. But at Robert Half, we know it's possible. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
I am Welby Torres, owner and lead tech at AirTech Automotive.
When a job well done is out of here and you see this customer's face lit up, you can't fake that. And that's satisfaction to me. What am I working for? To treat every car like I treat mine.
At ADP, we're designing a better way to work so you can achieve what you're working for. HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll. Informed by data and designed for people. Learn more at design.adp.com.
Mayday, mayday. This may be hard to believe, but there are four amazing games making the rounds this May.
Wow.
Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Oh.
But make no mistake, all four are sure to cause mayhem all May long. So don't wait and run the risk of being, well, dismayed.
Oh, man.
Make a major play today with new May instant games.
Nice.
If you're lucky, you may find yourself making it rain with a major amount of cash.
Yeah.
New May instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Did you know the Tennessee Lottery has raised $5 billion for education? Oh, sorry, I said $5 billion. That can't be right.
It's true. In fact, the Tennessee Lottery has raised over $5 billion for education. It's impacted the entire state.
Really? So you could say the Tennessee Lottery is not only changing the state, it's changing lives.
Well, actually, I do say that. The Tennessee Education Lottery. It's game-changing, life-changing fun.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
It's late, and you accidentally like an old photo of your ex. You unlike it, but it's no use. The internet is faster than your fingers. You couldn't save yourself from the agony of an unintentional ex-like, but you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Oh.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. While the photo you liked, but actually hate, is becoming your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents in the award-winning Geico mobile app.
Nice.
It's funny how a misplaced tap could cause such anguish. Speaking of tapping, your local Geico agent could help you tap into more savings.
Ooh.
You couldn't save yourself from an unintentional ex-like, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.